Good morning.
Good morning.
We've been going through Colossians. We're in Colossians 3, starting in verse 18. As we find that, I was talking to my wife this week, and I'm not going to go into details about what we talked about entirely, but just give you a hint on it. And I realized I need to address this. She's pointing out how I say a lot of stuff up here, but, you know, at home, I don't quite live up to those ideals, and I just want to point that out right now to all of you. Studying this is learning for myself some of the ways in which I fall short, and that's just kind of the reality with stuff like this. Being a husband is something that we never stop learning. Being a wife is something I'm sure the ladies never stop learning. And it's a process. And by God's grace, you stay together and you learn to love each other and respect each other. And So I just wanted to start with that because it's true. You know, you can come up here and you can say a bunch of stuff, but please nobody think that I'm doing any better than anybody else. Hopefully I'm not the worst among you, but but I don't want you to be the worst either, so, you know. last week, we went into husbands a little bit, and but we didn't actually read it in here. I kind of want to read this whole section real quick, just to remind us of where we are, starting in verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. We're going to end there. It always feels weird ending because, you know, he just keeps going with his thoughts, but you have to draw a line somewhere. So I wanted to concentrate today a little bit on general leadership. I find that since we're talking about husbands, the husband takes on a leadership role in the household that affects not only his wife, but also his children, and in that society, maybe slaves or servants. Some of us men have had leadership positions at jobs, and so we have employees. And so they're talked to several times. There's kind of a pattern in the way he talks to the leadership. To husbands, he says to not be embittered against them. We already talked about the love part, which is important. But he addresses, don't be embittered against them. Another translation was, don't be harsh to them. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose hearts. And to masters, he says, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. So at work, sometimes a customer comes in that's known me for a while, and he's like, oh, I noticed you're not here working here very much anymore. What are you doing? And I explained to them, I'm now with a corporate company, you know, a little bit higher up. And they, oh, that sounds exciting. Do you like it? You know? And often my response is, yeah, I get to do a lot of fun things, but, you know, if I could make the same amount of money washing dishes, I would do that. Leadership when you're 20 or in your early 30s seems like very prestigious, awesome, and cool. As you get older, you realize, man, it's a burden. It has perks, but it's a burden. And nowadays, as unfortunately, a lot of the youth are getting a little bit wimpier. Not all of them, mind you, and it's not their fault, by the way. It's ours, right? Right? We raised them. as a society, anyways. I hope your children are, especially your boys, are very manly. But mine are, for sure. the question is, like, do we have to lead in the family? You know, it says I'm supposed to love my wife and not be mean to her. Yeah, okay, cool. But do I have to lead? Because leadership brings in that risk of going too far. Leadership has the risk of overstepping your authority, because you have authority, and where does that end? And it gets difficult, and it's a sensitive game. But we do have to lead. It is impossible for your wife to submit to someone who's not leading. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, be submitted to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife." You are the head in your family, whether you like it or not, whether it's comfortable or not. First Corinthians 11:3 says something similar. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. These are simply things that are. Not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, you simply are. It's one of the dangerous things about becoming a husband. I guess you are not automatically a husband. You can choose not to be. Young guys, that's an option. But you're not created that way. Most of you are not created that way. So it's not really an option. Other leadership positions you have to apply for, you have to strive for in church to become an elder or whatever, a deacon. There are qualifications, right? Get these things right, and maybe you get to do this too. To be a husband, you got to make a few good jokes on a date, you know, get her to like you a little bit, and then get a judge or a pastor somewhere to sign on a piece of paper, and congratulations. But now you are a husband, and you have to act as a husband. You have to attempt, at least, to act as a husband. Let's look at Timothy real quick as far as like the elders and the deacons, how it words it. 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 4. This is talking about becoming an overseer or an elder, depending on your translation. 1 Timothy 3:4. He must be one who manages his household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? So here it's a qualification as an elder, but the question isn't, is he the leader of his household, but rather he is the leader of his household, and is he doing a good job? Because if you can't even do that at home, how can you do it at church? Jump down to verse 12, and again, it says this similar thing to the deacons. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. We're going to go more into children. Several of these verses I noticed talk about children. We're going to go more specifically into children, hopefully next week. But you're supposed to keep your children under control. It shows another one of those pitfalls for husbands. Keep them under control, but don't exasperate them, right? That's a hard trick. And it's not just outer exasperation, not just because they're throwing a fit on the inside. We know that that is on the inside, right? When they throw a fit on the outside, it's only showing what's on the inside. They might be too scared to show it on the outside, but that doesn't mean they're not having that issue on the inside. We've all seen those families that walk into churches. I haven't seen that here in years. But we've seen those families walk into churches where they walk in a straight line. Everybody's looking straight forward. They sit down all in a row. Kids have their hands on their lap. They're under control, but I'm not impressed. You know those kids are screaming on the inside, right? So you're supposed to keep them under control and well-managed, but with dignity and without exasperating your children. It's a difficult leadership line to walk. Let's look at Ephesians 5:3 as sort of a transition here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Excuse me, 33, not 3. Chapter 5, verse 33. Ephesians 5:33. Okay, nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And he must see to it, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. I've heard this preached on once. I don't think it was Dan. I hope not, because I'm about to disagree with what was taught. the preaching sounded really good, right? It suggested that Paul understands what we need. And a woman needs to be loved. And a man just needs to be respected. And I can see how that preaches really well. But we already talked about love, and this love is not that feely stuff. Although it includes that. I don't want to discount that. That does matter. But this love is doing what's best for your wife and looking out for her interests and being involved. You know, you're seeking her best, her well-being, her security. And this respect right here, it comes from a Greek word that's only translated respect once, right here. It is used a bunch of other times, though. This word that's translated respect, everywhere else is translated fear or afraid. It's the same word that the Bible uses when it says, fear God. I'm glad I did not realize this when I was talking to the ladies a couple weeks ago, because this would have been difficult to deal with. But I get to deal with it from the perspective of men. Are you worthy of that? Are you worthy of that? That is scary. I don't want anyone to respect or fear me the way they fear God. And yet women are commanded to do so. How do I, as a man, figure out how to be honorable and worthy of that kind of command to my wife, whom I love, and I don't want her to have to deal with me in that way? Yes, sir?
King James has it, reverence.
Reverence, yep. So, yeah, no, it's all good. So ultimately, the husband has no choice but to lead. It is the function of a husband to lead. The question for the husband is not whether to be the head and manager of the father, but rather whether you are in your function as head of the family, taking care of their needs physically, mentally, and spiritually, as is your God-appointed responsibility. With, yes, sir.
Piggyback on the gentleman back here, the idea behind the Greek word also includes the idea of awe. Be in awe of the position the husband has been given.
All right.
It's a huge, huge task for the husband. It's helpful if the wife recognizes that, and then it's the kind of fear that goes along with the awe.
Yes. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. And Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And this goes to this. We're put in. We have a responsibility as a husband that's given to us by God, and so we have to live up to that. And this section right here is not talking about family, but it's. I think it's applicable in this situation. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants?" To give their rations at the proper time. Blessed is the slave whom the master finds doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive a few. But from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrust much, of him they will ask all the more. This is kind of the principle, right, that we find in Scripture and even in worldly wisdom, right? We live in a post-Spider-Man society, so we know that with great power comes what?
Great responsibility.
Thank you. Those of you who don't watch Spider-Man maybe didn't get that, but...
With, before Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know. So in our Colossians scripture, specifically to husbands, we're commanded to love our wives and do not be embittered against them. It is easy to become embittered against people you're in charge of. I'm going to skip some stuff because of time here, but this is something that was on my mind, and I was having a hard time figuring out how I'm going to bring it this morning. But when I deal with people at work or people at church or other places where maybe I have a leadership position, and somebody doesn't act as they should. Not me, of course, in the scenario. I can be patient, maybe loving, maybe often not as outgoing as I should be, but I can be outgoing and helpful. When someone in my family acts in a way that is wrong and dishonoring to the family, it hurts my pride, right? And also, that family member or this person that I love, they don't even have to be in my family. The closer you are to me, the more this is true, right? I identify with you. You in some way are part of me. And so it's easier to take what's going on personal. When my wife publicly does something that I'm embarrassed about, that hurts my pride, right? And even if my pride isn't too hurt, I'm way more eager to try and fix it. Maybe overly eager to fix it. Right? If I see my children going in the wrong direction, or a direction that I feel is wrong, I tend to try and talk them out of that and be overbearing. And this is kind of something that I'm feeling in this Colossians section. This overstepping of our authority. We tend to get animated and just take it too personal. Usually it's pride. Let's just face it, it's pride. I want my wife and my children to act in a way that I'm proud of and the way that I want them to.
So that you'll look good.
So that I'll look good. Right. And when it doesn't go that way, I'm very offended, and I can overstep my authority. But my job as husband, and your job as husband, is not to turn them into what you want them to be. God already made them. You didn't make them. Our job as husbands is to fight the curse in their life. There's a curse from Genesis, right? And God talks to the man, and he said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. All the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And so we get this idea that man's curse is that working in the fields to get food is hard. And that is true, but most of us, who here works in a field to get their food? Not me. So is the curse gone? No, the curse is not gone. The idea is, I feel, that that now we have, things tend towards this order. Things fall apart. People have attitudes. I have an attitude. And everything I work for falls apart. You build a house, what happens? The sun, the wind, the rain, you walking around and it tears that house to pieces. It's just a fact of life now in this fallen world. Everything falls apart. And so as you strive to build your family, as you strive to teach your children and to love your wife, you leave the house for a few hours to go make some money and you come back and it's not the way you left it. And that's frustrating and it makes you mad. But that's your job. That's your part of the curse. As you set things straight, they fall apart again. You plant something, thorns and thistles grow in between it. That's your curse, right? Is that your job from the beginning was to be the leader, even in the beginning, even before the fall, Adam was created first. And then God made Eve as his helper. He was in charge, and he got help. But after the fall, as he works to make things happen, he's still responsible for the outcome. Eve still had to work too. There's this idea that Eve didn't have to work. She did. She had to work too. But it's not at the sweat of her brow. In other words, it's not her responsibility in a fallen world that tears everything you do apart. It's not her responsibility. It's yours. And that's true when it comes to bringing home the food, which she can help with, but it's your responsibility. Keeping that roof over the head, but also relationships fall apart. And that's also your job, right? Relationships fall apart in the home with your wife. It's your job to build that relationship. It's your job to keep the kids in line as they go the natural path of trying to veer off that path. That's the curse, and that is the responsibility. I had a manager at my work who can't be manager anymore. He doesn't work there anymore. But at one point, he couldn't be manager anymore. And the reason was very simple. As manager, when the world falls apart, it's your job to set it right. So things fell apart. And it was understood that if he showed up, it either got worse or it just didn't matter, right? That is not the way it should be when a manager walks in. And that is not the way it should be when the head of the house walks in. You are the head of the house. So I want to ask you this question. When you walk into the house, because you know yourself, and maybe ask your wife if you're unsure, when you walk into the house, does the home feel, does the family feel like, when you walk in, that if things are wrong, they'll be set straight now? That where there is disagreement, you will help fix that disagreement. If there's an encouraging word that needs to be said that hasn't been said all day, will that encouraging word be said? Or are they like, he's home, oh well. I think I tend to fall into that position sometimes. It's kind of like, oh, he's home, cool. Or worse, oh no, he's the tyrant is there. Right? So time kills me. This is killing me this morning. I wanted to end on a totally different note, though. Let's quickly look at a couple verses. We have to. Deuteronomy 24:5. And this really doesn't say anything I want to say other than the heart of God towards marriage. This is in the law. This was the rules. Well, in the law. It was in the rules for the Jewish people. And I've heard this quoted a few times, and I always appreciated it. Deuteronomy 24:5. When a man takes a new wife, he shall not go out with the army, nor be charged with any duty. He shall be free at home 1 year and shall give happiness to his wife whom he has taken. That was in their rules. Isn't that nice? I mean, nice to get a year off. But also, this is how precious having a wife is. Let's jump to Proverbs 18:22. Proverbs 18:22. Did I say Proverbs 22? Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I'm like, why do I get favor from the Lord just for taking a wife? No, that is the favor. that was it right there. I have to say this right because in the car my family gave me a hard time. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse 7. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Good, thank you. Yeah. Ecclesiastes 9:7. Go then, eat your bread in happiness, and drink your wine. By the way, this is in the middle of like King Solomon saying all kinds of almost fatalistic stuff. But then, go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. As we strive around to give ourselves a better life, a cooler car, nicer clothes, a bigger TV, whatever it is, really, the real struggle in life is just to get by, and you have really one reward that's earthly, that hasn't been gotten rid of from the curse. There's one reward we get. It's you ladies. So, take joy. I know I said a lot of warning stuff and be careful, but take joy. Take joy in being the head of the house. You don't get to get out of it, so take joy in it. You get to lead. Take joy. While if you do it wrong, there's condemnation and shame if you do it very wrong anyways. But if done right, it brings joy, honor, and the favor of God. We're going to end there. Thoughts? Disagreements? Yes, sir.
One thing I've seen in my old age is leadership is going to happen in a family whether or not you are there to take hold of it.
Yeah.
And it could be in the form of your children getting advice from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But leadership is going to be there, and you have to understand that it's yours.
Yes.
Indeed. I'll try and be quick. It's a hard job being a husband. It's probably a harder job being a wife. And that word in respect, in Ephesians 5:33, let the wife respect her husband.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that, and Dave started bringing it out there, but the word is phobia, where we get our word phobia. And it does mean to be alarmed, to be in awe, afraid, fear exceedingly. And reverence is one word also, Michael, over there, for King James on there. But it comes from the root word phobos, which is to be put in fear, alarm, or fright, exceedingly, fear, fear. That's a strong word right there for the wives. Like I say, it's almost like this awe of God. And that's a hard thing for us husbands to live up to, for, you know. And then you tie in the 1 Corinthians passage you talked about, the man, the husband, and the wife. There's a lot of men, I don't know a lot, I've known some over the past that have taken this to go, I am the king of this.
Right.
Also, you'll do what I say, because the Bible, that's wrong to take it that way. So, the Ephesian passage here where the woman is to be a phobia, that's different thinking than I thought before. And so, anyway, just throw that out there.
Thanks. Yeah.
Leadership is a very interesting role that we're thrust onto. And I learned a lesson about that from a distinctly non-Christian source a long time ago when I was in Japan during their power days when they were very successful, and we didn't really understand why. And I saw an insight to that. I met a man who ran a small business, a beauty shop. And it's a long story, but I'll cut to the chase. He was thinking about expanding. I met him, and I saw his apartment with his wife and two tiny rooms and a shared bathroom down the hall. And I asked him over dinner how business was going. It was going great. I'm thinking about expanding, and then maybe I'll get a better and bigger apartment. And I thought to myself, But, and here it comes, he said, I can't do that until all my employees can also upgrade their living conditions. Bam! That was his responsibility as a boss. And he really took it seriously. And I asked myself, how many people in this country who run businesses think the same way? Before they give orders, before they fire, before they criticize. No, I'm going to think about the well-being of my servants.
Yep.
Because that's leadership.
Yep, thank you.
Well, in these times, where when Christ is not the head of the man, the woman will try to take over.
It's true.
Scary thing.
Okay. Let's close up real quick in prayer. Lord, well, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our time and discussion, and that you are amongst us, Lord. I especially appreciate it, considering that we need your help. Lord, we need your help in leadership. We need your help to submit to one another, to submit to husbands, to lead, to... All these things are difficult things, Lord, and you are patient and full of grace for us, Lord. And thank you for that, Lord, because... we often fall so short, Lord. But I don't want to dwell on the fact that we fall short. I want to strive and ask for your help to strive to fulfill your calling as wives and husbands and your calling towards one another, Lord. Lord, I just ask also that we have an amazing time together this morning in fellowship and between the services, Lord. Please guide us in our discussions and our attitudes towards one another, and prepare us for the next hour. with Dan, Lord. Please put your spirit on him and prepare him as he prepares for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.